Okay, so to return to this topic of the impact of Dinim Darabanan on Mitzvahs Doraisa, so a little bit of reduced time because we spoke about another topic first, but we'll try to pick up. So we started yesterday the question, and you've seen some more Makoros today, about what is the effect that a Din Darabanan has on a Din Min HaTorah. We know that the Gemara tells us that Chazal are able to make their gezeros even when they impact the performance of mitzvos min haTorah. And that's the rule that we call Yesh Koach Bidei Chachamim Laker Davar min haTorah B'Shev Al Taseh, at least passively. So the rabbis can, relevant example to us, can say, don't blow shofar on Shabbos and don't take a lulav on Shabbos, even though by Torah law the mitzvah is to do those things whatever day of the week it is. But the rabbis can say, don't do these things on Shabbos because they may lead to carrying. And they can say that even though it means the cancellation of the mitzvah min haTorah. So we started asking yesterday, what is the impact of that gezeirah? Does it mean that the mitzvah is actually gone? So when the rabbis come and make such a rule, there's no longer a mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah, for example? Or should we say, no, that doesn't make sense as far as the mechanics? And even hashkafically, it seems impossible. It seems like it undermines the Ikari Amunah. It seems like it undermines the idea of the eternality of the Torah, that if the Torah gave a mitzvah, it's got to be there forever. And yes, okay, it's enough of a chiddush to say that the rabbis can command us to sit it out. But to actually rewrite the Torah, that seems way outside what should be possible. So those, roughly speaking, broadly speaking, were two possibilities. And we saw yesterday some sources that touched upon this. And by the way, you know, there are dozens of sources, if you look very closely, that you can find throughout Shas that will impact on this. But Hayom Katzar v'Hamalachim Ruba, we can only do so much. But just to be aware, if you're really going to be Medayik, and if you're going to look at the whole breadth of Shas, there is quite a bit to be seen about this. I'm always happy to provide anybody who's looking for more with extra material to look at, but we'll try to catch the biggest points on this train. So we saw yesterday, for example, that Rabbeinu Yonah took a view, according to a position he doesn't paskin like, so it's not really practical, that if there is a gezeirah of chatzos on Kriyat Shema, if the rabbi said you can't say Kriyat Shema, which could have gone all night, but you can't say after chatzos, not just that it means that you should say it before chatzos, but that afterwards you're prohibited from saying it, and prohibited meaning it's just not being available to you, and there's no Kiyum Mitzvah anymore. It's done, they rewrote it. And we saw a machlokas rishonim in the beginning of Sukkah, that when the rabbi said that you have to keep your dinner table in the Sukkah with you, and the statement appears in the Gemara that somebody who wasn't doing this was told that he's not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sukkah. So Tosfos said, yeah, it means mamish not yotzei at all. And the Ran said, no, come on, it's a mitzvah derabanan. So it must mean that you're not doing it perfectly, but the mitzvah is still there. The mitzvah still exists, just you're not doing what you were told to do. So here, this circles around a number of considerations, and we find it in terms of how positive mitzvos are formulated also. And we started just at the end yesterday, we mentioned that if you have a mitzvah that is min haTorah, but Chazal enhanced it in positive ways, they just told you to do more, there's no prohibition there. So that may also redefine things. So when it comes most prominently to Kiddush, Kiddush is maybe the most likely example here. We have a mitzvah from the Torah of Kiddush, according to most. It's one of the Ten Commandments. So if that includes Kiddush, you can accept that. But what we do nowadays for Kiddush is probably more than what the Pasuk indicates. So we nowadays make Kiddush on a cup of wine with a bracha, and a bracha for the wine and a bracha for the Kiddush, and it has to be b'makom suda. That's something that's important. So most of that is probably not included in the word Zachar Soma Shavas Lekacho. Now, what is and what isn't is a big machlokas. One contemporary sefer listed 15 different opinions in Rishonim and Achronim as to how much is included in the Din Daraisa of Kiddush. But it's safe to assume that a lot of it is not. Kiddush Makom Suda probably is not. Kiddush on wine probably is not. So let's say you do Kiddush without that. Are you Yotze anything Min HaTorah? Now, this actually has very practical implications. This is not at all theoretical. One practical implication of this is in many shuls, by most shuls in America, and not so many shuls in Eretz Yisrael, they make Kiddush in shul Friday night. And there's a lot of controversy about that, because in the time of the Gemara, as we'll see, God willing, if we get to the end of Pesachim, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that they used to make Kiddush in shul because there were guests who were eating in the shul. But nowadays, in our system, we basically don't have guests eating in the shul. So does it still make sense to make Kiddush in shul? So there are different explanations of this. One issue that's dealt with in the Rishonim, and I want to get to the sugya in Pesachim someday soon, so someday over the course of the year, so we'll see it there in much more detail. But one consideration is that why are we doing this? Maybe we're doing this, okay, we don't have people eating in the shul. But maybe there are people visiting the shul who are not going to make Kiddush on their own for whatever reason. So let's at least be mezakeh them. Let's make Kiddush in shul on their behalf so they'll at least hear that. Now you'll tell me, but they're not eating in shul, so it's not going to be Kiddush Makom Suda. So I'll tell you, okay, but it's something. So they're not going to get the mitzvah perfectly like Chazal ordained. But they'll get at least the mitzvah min HaTorah of Zachar Soma Shavas Lekacho. So, isn't that at least something? So that was a machlokas harishonim, and that may revolve around this issue. Right? That do we say that once Chazal instituted a mitzvah in a specific way, so then that becomes the new normal, to use a loaded phrase, for what the mitzvah is. And if you're missing that, you're missing the mitzvah. So there's no point in making Kiddush on behalf of somebody who's not eating there, because you're not going to give them anything more than they would have gotten otherwise, according to that view. So this is a practical question. It impacts things like that. So this was a big debate also. And the Prima Gaudim, in his Psicha Kolalas, Prima Gaudim is a classic commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, but he also wrote these introductions to Torah as a whole and to specific areas which are very quoted. So in his general introduction, Psicha Kolalas, which you can get as a separate footnoted volume, Prima Gaudim writes that he thinks it does redefine the mitzvah, and if you fail to do the mitzvah as indicated, so then the mitzvah is lacking. And meaning it's lacking completely, meaning it's not going to be fulfilled. And others, as you could imagine, disagreed. Many others disagreed with this. And they disagreed. You could probably imagine a big distinction. Right? That there's probably room to distinguish between when there's a positive mitzvah and the Chazal just told you to do it better. So if I fail to do it, then it's nothing. Where a situation like we're focusing on here, where there's a mitzvah of shofar and an aveira of chil Shabbos, and Chazal said, because of the concern of that aveira, don't do this mitzvah. Right? There's probably a difference between those two scenarios. Make sense? So what I think is interesting, though, is that even though it does sound like there's a difference, you could define the difference, you could pick the difference in opposite directions. Right, what's the svara for either way? Right, if I were to say there's a difference between Kiddush, where Chazal said, do it better, and shofar on Rosh Hashanah, where Chazal said, don't blow the shofar because of the possibility of Chil Shabbos. If I were to say those are different categories as far as which one makes the mitzvah disappear and which one doesn't, it's just a question of practice. So how would you line it up? I could hear a svara to go either way. What would you think is more compelling? Ari?
As if the rabbis are saying don't do something, then I should view it as if that doesn't exist. Even you can say the Kiddush is on a Torah level, but if the rabbis are merely adding something, then they're just adding another layer to the Torah obligation that already you can see.
Okay, so I think that is probably the more common way to see it. I think so. It's definitely logical. And that you find more often, right? That the issue is that when Chazal prohibited something because they're concerned about some other Avera happening, so then that was an absolute. This is off the table. But when Chazal said, here's what we want you to do for Kiddush or benching or Kriyashma maybe, so then that became an ideal and an obligation to do when you can, but if you fail to go up to that level, it's still a mitzvah min HaTorah beneath it. So that is the more common and probably more logical way to draw the distinction. Theoretically, you could have said the opposite. You could have said that when Chazal redefined a mitzvah, they redefined Kiddush or benching, so then they redefined it. Now that's what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah requires you to do all these things. But when it comes to shofar on Shabbos, so it's two separate areas of halacha. So they're concerned about Chil Shabbos, and they made a gezerah there. But the mitzvah of shofar is still the mitzvah of shofar. So if you do that, still should count, even though, as far as Shabbos is concerned, you did something wrong. All right?
Didn't we offer yesterday an explanation for the prohibition of Bal Tzigra as offering a rabbinic decree in the form of a deraisa decree?
Bal Tosif.
Thank you. Yeah. So wouldn't this fall under the same thing by saying now the rabbinic obligation, or the Torah obligation, is now redefined with an added element which was of rabbinic origin but now has Torah status?
Not necessarily. The question is still there, the big question of how do rabbis make new laws when the Torah says Bal Tosif. But as far as does it undermine that approach we said yesterday, which is the Rambam's approach, not necessarily, because he said it's about presentation. So if you claim that this is what the Torah says, so then that's where you get into Bal Tosif. But here, we say, okay, no, we know the Torah says just remember Shabbos. And we're saying, here's what we want you to do. It wouldn't necessarily be any more of a Bal Tosif issue than we started with. Valvo?
Just on the last point, the Rebbe said that you could say that it's two separate areas of halacha, and therefore, even if you blew the shofar, you'd be okay, even if there's a problem with Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So if we assume, like, let's say, like the Rambam or the opinions that take the Rabbanan's decrees more than a Torah, so then you have a problem of what's it called? Totally blanking on the concept.
Of Bal Tosif?
Mitzvah of Avera.
Oh, okay. That might be very relevant. So put that in your pocket for a minute, and we'll come back to that. So that may play a big role here. Okay, so hold on. That may definitely have some importance here. So within this distinction, right, so let's say Kiddush and benching is one thing. And when there's an Aveira, it's something else. Which Not the only way to see it, but it's definitely logical. So let's assume, okay, so there's a discussion about Kiddush and all of that. That was one machlokas. But there's definitely room to say that I could take the opinion that there's still a mitzvah of Kiddush Menat Torah, even if I don't do it perfectly. But that it's a different question if there is an Aveira that we're concerned about. So what is the story with that? If there is a Aveira that is on the table, and Chazal said, worry about it, what impact does that have on a mitzvah? And to give an example, I don't think I gave you this to look at, but you could, there's the Sefer HaEshkol, it's one of the Rishonim. In Siman Lamed Beis, he has the following very interesting question. Normally, we gave the background yesterday about tzitzis and shatnas. Right? We said, normally the din is that by Torah law, you're supposed to attach tzitzis to a linen garment and create shatnas, because esse dochalosa say the mitzvah of tzitzis outweighs the avera of shatnas. But the rabbi said don't do it because they are concerned that you'll have a number of scenarios where there's no mitzvah of tzitzis and you'll just have the shatnas, so don't do it. So they made a rule, no tzitzis and shatnas situations. He asked the Sefer HaEshkol as follows. What if you say, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm a Torah Jew. I'm not listening to the rabbis. I just listen to the Torah. So I am going to put tzitzis on this garment and create shatnas because that is what the Torah ordains. So that's the path he takes. Should this guy get malchus for violating shatnas when he wears these tzitzis? Right, tzitzis is olosase, so normally it should be subject to malchus. Does this guy get malchus? Right, should we say, essentially, that he's no better than anyone else who wears shatnas? This is not holy shatnas, this is the same shatnas as anybody who just decided he's going to wear shatnas for fun, with no pretense of a mitzvah, so he is chayav malchus. So this guy too? Because the mitzvah is gone. Or should we say that, no, the mitzvah is not gone. On a Torah level, the mitzvah is there. And therefore, on a Torah level, asei dochalos asei. So there's no issur shatnas. Shatnas is gone. But because Chazal said not to do it, so somebody who does this is violating an Issur Rabbanan. But he's not in violation of the Issur Shatnas Min HaTorah, because that was outweighed by the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. So that still is in play. And Chazal told him not to do this, so he's violating an Issur Rabbanan, he's not violating an Issur D'Oraisa of Shatnas. Interesting question. So do you say that their gzeira negated the mitzvah of tzitzis, not here anymore in this case? Or no, they don't have that power. And therefore, they can tell you not to do this, because they have the power to make such rulings. But they can't change the mitzias of how it works. There's still an iser, there's still a mitzvah of tzitzis, outriding the iser, outweighing the iser of shatnas. And therefore, there's no malchus min ha-Torah. Kiva?
Can you also say that Rizamazo is also something made Darabana, and so Medina Torah, there's tzitzis the whole day. So there's no, like, you never really, like, confront that issue of shatnas.
You mean because you'll always have the mitzvah of tzitzis? Except for the cases the Gemara was concerned about, even on a level Darabana, you wouldn't have, because, let's say, at nighttime. So everyone agrees you're not obligated to wear tzitzis at night. Just a machlokus rishonim, what defines night? Is it about nighttime garments or nighttime hours? But there's still a scenario where you're not going to have a mitzvah of tzitzis. You have pajamas at night, for sure, not obligated in tzitzis. Or Gemara also mentions that maybe it'll rip and it won't be a four-cornered garment anymore. So it'll still be subject to shatnas. So there are scenarios where the concern is still there, even on a rabbinic level. Yes, Velvo.
I just ask a quick point. If did this fall off one of the, if a rips or something, and then you have like a garment without tzitzis, isn't that a problem in itself?
Yeah.
So okay. What do we do about that?
But the difference between the tzitzis ripping and the garment ripping. If the tzitzis rips,
then it just made me think, like, isn't that a problem of wearing a four-quarter garment without tzitzis?
It is. That's why if you have, counterintuitively, if you have wearing a, nowadays that we put on a special garment for tzitzis, so it's actually worse to put on tzitzis that are puzzle than to not put it on in the first place. Because since we're not normally wearing four-corner garments, if you don't put it on, it's okay, so you're not actively violating anything. If you put on a four-corner garment that doesn't have tzitzis, so then you're getting yourself into trouble. So if you have a question about whether your tzitzis are good or not, you should really take it off right away, because better to not be wearing any tzitzis than to be wearing any tzitzis garment, any talus cotton, rather than be wearing something that has insufficient tzitzis. But that's if the tzitzis break. But the Gemara is talking about here is what if the garment rips? The tzitzis
right,
are good.
But is it, if the tzitzis rip, isn't that also a problem? So how come we don't make a gezeira on that?
Well,
it's not the same level of...
you mean you're saying that we should always worry that our tzitzis is no good?
Yeah.
And then we're being mevatel and asay. So that's a more interesting question as far as also goes back to, say, the Kriya Shema question. Because you're asking this, so I'll just mention this quickly. So what about the... This really opens up a whole other angle. But let's say the Kriya Shema question. I mean, it's relevant. But let's say the whole Kriya Shema question. So do Chazal make gezeras like that? Right? So what you're basically saying is we should say never, Chazal should say never wear tzitzis. Because maybe if my tzitzis rip, never do what we do nowadays, which is put on a separate garment for tzitzis. Because if it rips, then you're worse off than you started. You're asking for trouble. If you never put it on in the first place, you wouldn't have any problems. But if you put it on in the first place and it rips, now you're in trouble. So the simple answer, I mean, the most basic answer to that probably is that here it's not like we're concerned about shatnez or some other aveira. It's the same mitzvah. That wearing four-cornered garment without tzitzis is a bittel of the mitzvah of tzitzis. So to say that to avoid that bittel, we should literally be mevatel the whole mitzvah, never do the mitzvah, because maybe sometimes you'll be in a scenario of active neglect, that seems like it's undermining itself. As opposed to the shatnez consideration, there's a separate isser of shatnez that we're worried about, so okay, we'll protect that at the expense of tzitzis. But to protect tzitzis at the expense of tzitzis doesn't seem to be logical. So the question is, well, didn't Rabbeinu Yonah say that about Kriya Shema? That you're protecting Kriya Shema at the expense of Kriya Shema? We're saying don't say Kriya Shema after Chatzos in order to protect Kriya Shema. So the difference would be that, first of all, that's not going to result in your saying never say Kriya Shema, which would be a much more sweeping neglect of the mitzvah. And it opens up the interesting question, which is a whole side angle. If that gezeira was, like you said, like Rabbeinu Yonah says, that after Chatzos we're pulling the plug, website's not live anymore. So what's the purpose of that gezeira? Is it so that you'll be motivated to move earlier? So it's trying to protect tonight. Tonight we're going to say that after Chatzos, no more Kriya Shema. What's the impact? What's the purpose of that gezeira? Is it to say that, okay, so I better do it earlier so I know I won't have that backup? Or is it to say that, no, it's not going to be tonight, it's about tomorrow night. That when I come home after Slichas tonight at 2 o'clock in the morning and I say, okay, now I have to start worrying about Kriya Shema. Oh, too late, it's after Chatzos. So what's the impact? The impact is that tomorrow night I won't make the same mistake. So tomorrow night I'll say, okay, I don't want to lose Kriya Shema, so I'll have to be more prompt and diligent about it. So what's the nature of that whole gezeira? It's not clear. Is it to protect the future so you shouldn't make this mistake again? So the teacher who locks the door 5 minutes after class starts, so you can't come in. So what does that do? So maybe it means you won't come late tomorrow. Or maybe it means that, no, you'll know that you better show up in the first 5 minutes, otherwise you're not getting in. So what's the purpose of that gezeiros? So for example, we have Yontif Sukkos coming up. So Chazal prohibited getting a haircut during Chol HaMoed. Why? Because they want to make sure that you get a haircut before Yontif. And they don't want you to say, okay, I'll wait till Chol HaMoed and I can do it then, I still have time. So they cut off that option so that you'll make sure to do it beforehand. So as a way of guaranteeing that you do something, they closed off an escape route for later. So what exactly is the relationship there is an interesting one. So it goes to this question, would Chazal ever stop part of one mitzvah in order to support that same mitzvah? So probably not, because the Kriya Shema is itself very questionable. But even if it did, it would still be different than the tzitzis angle. So this gets us to another question. We're just about out of time. The main question we're picking up with here, but I'll just leave it on a little bit of a cliffhanger form. So what about our issue? What about shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So let's say somebody blows shofar on Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos. So should we say, all right, the rabbi said not to, shouldn't have done it, but still a mitzvah. As far as the Torah is concerned, still Rosh Hashanah, still a mitzvah of shofar, so there's still a mitzvah there. So this was a machlokas that hundreds of sfarim were involved with, but just to tell you two of the major players, and then we'll expand on this tomorrow. Two of the major names here are Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Chelkis Yoav. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in his Drush V'Chiddush to Maseches Ksubis, he actually raises this question. And he assumes that the mitzvah is still there. The rabbi said not to do it, but the mitzvah is still there. So he says, for example, you can let Ketanim play with the shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, because even though we're not going to actually blow ourselves, but it's still a day of true, it's still there, and it's okay. And others took this view as well. And many others sharply disagreed. So among those who disagreed is the Chelkis Yoav. Chelkis Yoav was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. And it's interesting because on this point he actually disagrees with the Avnei Nezer, because the Avnei Nezer, maybe I'll tell you tomorrow, the Avnei Nezer actually agrees with Rabbi Akiva Eiger on this point. And he has a tshuva where he says, like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. But his student, the Chelkis Yoav, so he wrote a kuntras called Kavya de Kashesa. Is that a familiar phrase? I'll tell you where you may have come across it, but I'll write it in the chat so you know what the spelling is here. So I'll just type this out. So in the back of the Tshuvas Chelkis Yoav, he has this section called Kavya de Kashesa. So Kavya de Kashesa is a barrel of questions. But Kava in Gematria, you see here, is Kuv Beis Aleph, is 103. So he has 103 questions in his barrel of questions. These are the 103 questions that keeps him up at night. These 103 questions that there are no answer to. These are impossible to answer questions. Now, as you can imagine, if you're going to say something like that, that these questions are impossible to answer, what are you basically doing? You're basically daring everyone else to prove you wrong. So, since he wrote this, there have been a number of collections of answers to the questions in the Kavya de Kashesa. There's a few of the Sefer called Luga de Terutza, or Rav Nosson Gestetner wrote. Luga is a gematria, it's a 40. So he answers 40 of the questions. There's a sefer called Shari Ziv. In the back, he's got a section called Kavod V'Nichuso. He answers up all 103 questions. All of the ones that have no answers, he answered them all. And more recently, there's alive today, a very prolific author named Rabbi David Mandelbaum. Lives in Bnei Brak. Went to visit him last year. And he writes crazy amounts of svarim. He's like a machine. So he wrote the Paris Yosef HaChadosh that we've mentioned so far sometimes in the Chumashir. He wrote these big collections of Svarim. So he also published a lot of Svarim of the Talmidim of the Avnei Nezer. So he published a new edition of the Chelkis Yoav. And he also published the Sefer Kavod HaKashesa. So the Kavod HaKashesa was just a list in the original Chalkas Yov. He pre-published a separate set. It's a huge three-volume set, like as big as any other Sefer you have, times three. And he collected all of what was written in various forums to address these questions. And he generated a lot of his own answers. So in some Shailos and Tshuvos, you'll see they're addressed to him and say, oh, you wrote to me, I should answer some of the Kavod HaKashesas. Okay, here's some answers. So he generated some, he collected some, and his massive three-volume Sefer, all of what's written to address the 103 questions of the Chalkas Yov. So number Tzadi Test, number 99 out of the 103, says the Chalkas Yoav, he said, what in the world is going on with Rabbi Akiva Eiger? I cannot figure out where he's coming from. He doesn't say that about his Rebbe. He says the same thing. He says, about Rabbi Akiva Eiger, what is he talking about? He says, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that the mitzvah is still there when you perform it, even against the tzivoy of Chazal. If you blow shofar this Shabbos, it's a mitzvah. How could it be? He says, against everything that seems to make any sense. And, you know, we don't find any effort here to try to accommodate both. We don't find that anyone said you should start Shabbos, start Yontif early and don't start Shabbos yet, and blow shofar during the Tanzman Tosefes. We don't find any exceptions. We don't. It is the whole thing. It can't be. It says it must be that when they made such a rule, they completely got rid of it. So he says this is impossible to explain. And that's question number 99. Now, if you look in the Mandelbaum edition, you will find dozens and dozens of pages of people who work to explain it, and you can, I guess, read that over Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot and all your extra time. But there is quite a lot written about this, so we have to try to consider that question tomorrow. So, what is the case? Is it that there is no mitzvah to blow at all? Chazal removed it? And if so, how did that happen? What's the mechanism? And could this plug in maybe unforeseen ways to larger issues of how the mitzvahs d'rabbanan work? So we got a lot on our agenda. So just to quickly recap, we spoke about today. So before we started sharing, we spoke about Zerizim Makdim LeMitzvahs, Neim Ma'avir and Ola Mitzvahs by Shofar, and that consideration. And then we went back to our topic here, and we spoke about this question of how do Gezeris of Chazal impact on mitzvahs. And we gave a few kind of examples. So we saw that when it comes to Kiddush and Berachas HaMazon, you have mitzvahs min HaTorah that the rabbis enhanced through their legislation. So does the mitzvah still exist on a Daraisa level without that? And when they prohibited something, does the mitzvah still exist if that was the case? So we said the mitzvah question is a very practical question. For example, should you make Kiddush and Shul on behalf of people who might be passing through and might not be saying Kiddush? Are you helping them at all? Because it's not going to be Makom Suda, so they're not going to fulfill the mitzvah d'Rabbanan for sure. But is it at least a mitzvah min HaTorah, or is it not even that? That's a practical question. I mean, practically speaking, the shuls all have them and hug and they do what they do, but is this the explanation for the minig? And we noted that it probably is probably a lot of room to distinguish between a positive mitzvah that was enhanced and a positive mitzvah that was prohibited to be performed because of a concern of some other aveira. And that probably the most logical way to distinguish is when it's a prohibition, so then it's off the table completely. And when it's enhanced, then, okay, it could be better, but it's not something that disappears totally. Although we noted you could also take the exact opposite far and say if they redefined the mitzvah, that's it, it's redefined, doesn't exist in its lower form anymore. While if they prohibited shofar because of Shabbos or tzitz because of shatnez. So there it's an external consideration, but the mitzvah itself is untouched and should still apply if you do choose to perform it. And we mentioned the Sefer Eshkol's Chakira, that if you wear it, tzitzis and shatnez, so do we say you're Chayiv Malkus because you know better than anyone else violating shatnez? Or no, you are better. There is a mitzvah of tzitzis that is outweighing it, but the rabbi said not to do it, so you're violating an Issur D'Rabbanan. So when it comes to our question of Shofar on Shabbos, the topic that we're most interested in this week, so here we saw it's a big Machlokes, Rishonim and Achronim, but Achronim explicitly, you can find it in Rishonim too. But the two of the major players were Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Chalkis Yoav, and that the way it played out was that Rabbi Akiva Eger said in the Drush V'Chiddush that there is a mitzvah still, you are Yotze, a mitzvah if you blow shofar the Shabbos, regardless of the prohibition. And the Chalkis Yoav, in his Kavi T'Kashes, he said, how could that be? No way, no how. That's not possible. And if they prohibited this, it means the mitzvah is gone, and where's Rabbi Akiva Eger coming from? I consider that to be an unanswerable question. Of course, daring many others to answer it and to write what they think, and that's why there's a lot of literature about it. So tomorrow, that's what we'll have to then pick up from. Why would you say one opinion? Why would you say the other? And how could it work? And what hopes do we have for this Rosh Hashanah? Okay, so I wish everyone a wonderful day. Should stay safe and healthy. And we'll see you, God willing, at 9 o'clock tomorrow. All right. Kol Tov.